This is it. In great crisis, in the moment of decision, of ultimate truth, there comes to man a calm, a stillness in which he knows this is the big moment. This is it. Men have lived and died by such moments. Nations have endured and vanished. One calm April night, a silversmith stood by his horse and searched the darkness for the glimmer of a lantern in a steeple far away. First one light showed, then another. By land and by sea, the enemy was coming. And to Paul Revere came the overpowering knowledge that the fate of a nation was riding that night, that this was it. We hold these truths to be self-evident, some men in Philadelphia said. Equality, they said. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness, they said. And not a man there, but who did not know that this was a declaration for the ages, that a nation must be born if they must die for it, that this was it. And Stormy Andrew Jackson, facing at New Orleans the troops that had beaten Napoleon, knew that this was it. Texans against 4,000 at the Alamo knew before the fury and annihilation started that this was it. Then out of the grief and terrible grandeur of civil war, the nation whispered, "Why?" And on a winter's day, their president replied, "We cannot escape history. The fiery trial through which we pass will light us down in honor or dishonor to the last generation. In giving freedom to the slave, we assure freedom for the free. We bear that responsibility. We shall nobly save or meanly lose the last best hope of earth." And for Abraham Lincoln, that was it. United States Marines, fixing their bayonets at Belleau Wood, knew that was it. Bombers came to Paradise, and another president, hearing the news from Pearl Harbor, said, "Well, Harry, I guess this is it." Ask not, the young voice said, ask not what your country can do for you. But then the voice grew cold and stern. Touch not, it said, to those who aimed a new kind of musket at us, charged with cosmic fire. And the whole world said, hush, and asked, is this it? Incredibly, suddenly, that voice was still, but it had lived to utter to all conscience, this is it. The beloved voices of Valley Forge, of Gettysburg, they are gone, and Iwo Jima, of the Bulge and Porkchop Hill, and nameless battlegrounds. Those beloved voices cry up to us from the earth to be equal to our moment. They charge us to preserve with honor the destiny they purchased with their courage. Since the cave and the crook-boned men, since Sinai and the cross, since men first dreamed of being more than creature, he has faced his purpose and his responsibility when the moment became it. We cannot escape history. The lanterns are in the steeple for us forever. Our signatures are on that fateful document forever. Our unforgotten voices summon us to strength, with wisdom, to greatness, with compassion. By what we choose to be, we can nobly save or meanly lose the last best hope of Earth, or Earth itself. Stand silently at Arlington, where sentries post the guard for America's honored dead. Stand silently and watch the flickering of the eternal flame, and ponder the young John Kennedy's great challenge. Let the word go forth from this time and place to friend and foe alike, that the torch has been passed to a new generation of Americans born in this century, tempered by war, disciplined by a hard and bitter peace, proud of our heritage, and unwilling to witness or permit the slow undoing of those human rights to which this nation has always been committed, and to which we are committed today, at home and around the world.